Hey friends, here we are again on A Heart Refined in chapter 9 of the book James for You by Sam Alberry. So I want to tell you, I have tried to record this week several times, and for some reason I'm stumbling and bumbling and coughing and all kind of weird stuff. And so I'm not quite sure if it's an attack on chapter 9 being put out through podcast, but whatever it is, I'm going to persevere because I'm supposed to consider that pure joy. Even though I was supremely frustrated at that. But this week's title or focus is patience in suffering. And so I'm pretty sure it's not the suffering of trying to record a podcast, but patience is important any way we go. So this is just where we are. So I felt like this week as I was writing this or as I was making notes, putting an outline together, that it'd be super easy for me to turn this entire session into a confession about my relationships with hard people and suffering, being patient in that suffering with hard people. You know, the hard people I'm talking about, there's some people that they are just difficult to be around. You don't necessarily want to be around them at all. And then there's the people that you love them and yet they hurt you. They persevere in hurting you. And some of them don't even know they're hurting. Some of them do. But anyway, it goes. I felt like that I could twist and make this topic or this week, this focus about that. Now, I will say that even though that is not completely what James is referring to, he does mention as we're reading here in this verses 7 through 12 in chapter 5 of the book of the Bible, James, he tells us not to complain about these people. So I think it will apply, and we'll talk more about the hard people as the week goes on. But I want to say, let's keep focus. And if you were here with me, I would tell you to snap at me if I lose control of my focus, but I'll try to keep it in order. But like I said, his focus is a little different, James is. If we remember where we left off at the end of last week, verses 1 through 6, where James is rebuking the rich. These are the arrogant non-believers. He's talking really tough to them. It's changed from the language of hard talk to the congregation, to the members of the church, where it's tough love, more or less. It's a passionate talk about who Jesus is and driving these members in to love him. In this particular part, though, in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 5, he really is laying it hard for these non-believers because they don't stand with the same standard that the Christian membership does. And so he's speaking of how we should rebuke that. And also, if we remember back to the very beginning, as we were learning what James is writing about in this letter, we see that there was oppression from within the congregation. That's normal. We know how churches work. But then he was also talking about that oppression from without, from those non-believing rich landowners. And they were given the church trouble. So James is his intent here is to train the church members on how to deal with both them and from the trouble within and the trouble without. So let's go on right now and let's read verses 7 through 12 in chapter 5 of the book of James. So here we go. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until he receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another, so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and let your no be no, so that you won't fall under judgment. And that was verses 7 through 12. So now we understand in that we're being asked to be patient, that the church is being asked to be patient. And to get a little more perspective, we need some proper context. Now, let's start with verses 10 through 11. I'm going to go back and read that now. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You've heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. So when I say we need a little context, I mean we need to get a full picture of the example of suffering and patience. Recently, I was speaking, and I can't even remember where it was, about referring to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to go back and read this right here. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when I was speaking, I urged the women to realize that that great cloud of witnesses that is surrounding us is not some like cheesy latest Christian woman blogger who can tell you the coolest things to do in Jesus' name. No, we're talking about heroic figures, Christ-like characters in the scripture that persevered through torture. We're talking about Job, as mentioned in the passage in James. He laid his life down in worship as he literally lost every single thing except his life. We have people like Abraham, Isaac, Moses, David, who also gave everything in their lives to follow God. There were the disciples who were beaten, crucified upside down, burned alive, and even boiled in oil. Like, we have no context for that here in America. I sort of start to crumble as I really think about how we think we are suffering in the United States. Now, I don't want to take away. Of course, we've got our own things. We've got our own struggles. It's very hard to watch someone die. It's very hard as we watch children in our country suffer with cancer and those things are hard. We've watched a lot of families suffer through the effects of COVID, not just dying of COVID, but then the people who have the people who have committed suicide because of having to be alone for so long. And there's multiple levels of suffering that we are enduring. But I think oftentimes us in just our basic everyday lives, we sort of take on this shroud of suffering. And really, it's just like, our phone is dying because we didn't plug it in. And that's not suffering, that's just a circumstance. And so I think we should put it into context and in proper perspective of what this scripture is talking about when it's asking us to be patient in suffering, to strengthen our hearts, to stand up, because there will be a day in our very near future where Christians are going to be persecuted for simply being Christians. And so we need to recognize that in proper understanding of the word suffering, we then are able to ready ourselves a little differently. And then, of course, leave a legacy to those who come behind us, readying themselves for a persecution that will be quite unfair, but is also biblical. And so I scrolled a smidge there, but even more important than these Christ-like characters that we have in the scripture, we have Christ himself. And that scripture, it says, for the joy that lie before him, that lay before him, Jesus, who is the only true and perfect sacrifice. He was not just a picture of patience. He is patience. He came to pay our ransom with his life. He gave his time, his energy, and his focus, his healing. He gave every piece of himself so that we might know the way, the truth, and the life. So obviously, you see why we have to be careful about how we define the suffering servant. Okay, so I think I'm going to call it right there for the day. And I think chew on that as you wait till we come back together for the next episode. Really chew on that in your life where you've defined suffering by something that's really just an obstacle or a circumstance that you're going through. And while that obstacle or that circumstance will be very trying, be very difficult, make sure that you're not labeling yourself as a martyr for Christ if you're really just going through something that you could just consider pure joy. These people considered something far greater than the simple things we go through to be pure joy. Okay. All right. See you soon. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.